I think we're official now. I hope you all can hear me just fine. Well, since Terry and Carol are on vacation, Terry asked me to give a message, which has been changing since a couple weeks ago till 10 minutes ago. But I hope you find it helpful for yourself. And before I start, I'd just like to open in just in prayer. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you come and share what is in you to the people that are hearing. Use the cracked vessel that I am, that you may come forth and speak into their hearts what you have for them today. In Jesus' name, amen. I will not be long as Terry has. I have much fewer notes. I'm not quite the eloquent speaker that he is, the way he pulls things apart, and it amazes me. And we're very blessed to have him teaching us. But today I want to start off with a verse in Isaiah 64. And it starts in verse 4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, nor eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. And we've all heard messages, and we've all heard that those verses many times. And what are the saying is, you haven't heard him, you haven't seen him, and your imagination cannot even fathom the things that he has prepared for you. And that's what I want to talk about today. If I have to give a title to this message, I give it the expectations, vision, and imagination. I want to start off by last fall, I had the opportunity to be out in Montana with my family, and my son-in-law asked me to if I had a message I'd like to give, and I went ahead, and they had been looking at this verse for some time about hearing and seeing what God's going to do, and I built my message around that, and it was called The Embrace of the Father. And as my message, won't go through the whole thing, but it was built on the prodigal son as he came home to the father, that the father had embraced him and kissed him and held him. And my message is, what did the father say as he held his son in his arms? And you're all aware that when somebody holds you close and kisses you on the cheek, they usually whisper something in your ear. And my message is, what did he whisper into the son's ear, and what would he whisper into your ear? And I left it as I changed those verses around a little bit from the Old Testament. I said, if you have ears to hear, your eyes will see, and you will expect to see the Father. And you need to raise your expectations up. Well, we have gone into a time of Terry's teaching about expectations and visions. And I came back here and gave a message just before Christmas. And I entitled it Expectations. And this message is going to be a series of streams coming together into one river, and it'll come together at the end. But I have a lot of streams that I'm going to pour into this. And my message back then was expectations. And it was just before Christmas, and I used the Christmas story of using Mary and Anna and Simeon, the wise men, the shepherds. They all had a encounter with an angel or a word from the Lord by the Spirit. The Spirit was not in them. It was on them because the Spirit had not been given yet. But they all had something to give them a high expectation of what was going to happen. And so that built their hope in it, and it gave them a vision of what was going to happen. But everything came to them from an external place. Everything came to them from outside. It was an angel or a star. And they came and saw the birth of the Christ child. But their expectations were lifted as to what God was going to do. And I guess my question from that was, you know, where do you get your expectation? Where do you get your vision? How do you increase your expectation and vision? And a lot of us, you know, we're stuck in that position. We've tried to barter with God. We've tried to cajole with God, and we go, you know, give me a sign. Show me, right? You know, I always used to say, Lord, I am thick as a brick. Would you please write your message to me in the heavens? Well, I can see it. Father, in the Bible, it says, give me a fleece. You know, lay out a fleece. You know, God, do something to this that so I can see that it's really you talking. Let me hear your voice. Speak to me. And he went to Moses and he gave him a burning bush that wasn't consumed. But again, those are asking for external things. And they at a certain point they don't take a whole lot of faith. They just take, when I hear him, I will move. But what do you do when you don't hear the Lord? What do you do when your expectations are low? And what do you do when you have no hope? Because there are a number of people who have no expectation and no hope. And they sort of, their fruit sort of dries on the vine and withers away. And this takes me to, and I'm not going to, well, yes, I am going to read this. Let's go to Ezekiel. And it's 47. And most of you have heard this before. And it's the vision that Ezekiel had of man taking him to from the temple and walked him around the temple, and there was a flow of water from the temple. And he took him outside, and let's see, I'll pick up in verse 3. Ezekiel 47, verse 3. And as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand and measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep, he measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to my waist. He measured off another 1,000, but it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen so deep enough to I could have swim in it, a river that no one could cross. And he asked me, son of man, do you see this? And then he led me back to the bank. And when I arrived, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah, where it enters the sea. And let's move on to verse 12. It says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river, and their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Each month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. And that was the vision he had. And I found it kind of strange. Because, you know, you read these verses and you go, it says, Son of Man, do you see this? And he goes, yeah. Well, what is the implication of that? Because it's, I think it runs along with Revelation 22, where it talks about the river of life. And that starts off Revelation 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, crystal clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb down to the middle of the great street of the city. And he goes on and he talks about, you know, that river is for, you know, our life. And, you know, that is where, you know, there will be trees that grow on either side, and there will be light, and we will live there forevermore. And they're both along the same things. And so I started asking the Lord, well, what are you trying to show me? And the first thing I got was that he first showed Ezekiel the water that was ankle deep. And that was flowing from the throne. And I got, Lord talks to me in pictures, so we're going to have picture time today. The Lord showed him the water was only ankle deep, and then it went up to his knees and then to his waist and so high, and he couldn't cross the water. Well, that spoke to me is that what comes from God is so deep and so wide, you'll never get to the other side of it. You'll never be able to accomplish everything that you see. That it is so filling that it's going to be overwhelming to you. And I had just recently been down in Florida with my son and his family, and we went to the Atlantic Ocean and went down there and sat on the beach, and I watched the waves roll in. And it's funny, it's like the waves come in and they roll out, and it's like calling you back out into the water. It's like hands coming in and grabbing you back out. And as I thought, I got the picture, and you've all seen this like on advertising, where somebody is walking down the beach, you know, and a man and a wife, you know, they're selling a condominium or a vacation site, and they're walking down the beach, and they got their pants cuffs turned up, and they're carrying their tennis shoes or sandals, and just through the very little ripples of the tide coming in. And they think that is so wonderful, and that is the extent of their experience of the deep ocean that's out there. And the Lord says, this is like the Christian tourists who take a little trip into my kingdom, and they walk in the shallow water and think they have been filled. They're just spiritual tourists. They're timid. They don't want to go deep. And if any of you have ever gone out into the ocean or even into a river, but an ocean's totally different, that as you get deeper and deeper, you find your feet are lifted up by the currents and by the waves, and you're lifted up and you can't touch the bottom. And it's not a time for panic, because you know you're going to be all right. But it's continual. And as you go deeper, you get lifted up and you get moved from side to side, and you kind of lose control. Well, I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go out deeper into the water, where we do, if I could say, lose control or ourselves in Him. Because what He's saying, I want you to not only just walk in the water and tell everybody that you got your feet wet, and you can say, look what I did for you, Lord. I did this. No, He wants you to come out into the deep water and say, let me have control and let me show what I can do through you. And so many people are afraid of that. And they don't, you know, they go, well, how can I get out into the water? I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I have no expectations of the Lord. You know, I read the promises in the Bible and, gee, those are well and good. And I love to see, you know, what's going on. And I hear the special speakers that come to our church and I hear what they say. And boy, is that exciting. And then I go home and I live my life of dullness, of spiritual impotency. And you go, why don't I ever hear from the Lord? Well, maybe it's because you haven't gone deep into what he says. You see, the problem is a lot of us are so consumed by the process of how God's going to do something. We analyze it and we want to try to figure it out. And if we have something that sounds good to us and we think we have figured it out, well, we think we have arrived, but there's no application. And that made me think of when I was working, I used to travel a lot and I would, you know, fly into these towns and then go get my rental car, then drive and do my work and whatever. One time I went down to Gainesville, Florida. And, you know, the people don't necessarily know you. Some knew me, but, you know, I always went, you know, through their location. And this one lady at the Hertz counter said, oh, I've got something for you. You'll like it. I said, well, good. Thank you. And I went out into space 18 and went to find my car. And it was a bright summer spring day in Florida. The sun was shining. And I went out and I saw my car. And it was a bright yellow, brand new Mustang GT convertible. And I was thrilled to death. I looked at that and I said, oh my. I mean, I think it had like 27 miles on it. And the reason I bring that up is, as some would get stuck in the process, it'd be, well, how did this car get here? How did I get this? Who brought this to me? Why'd she pick me? How do I do this? How does it work? Why do I qualify? You know, all those questions that we throw and, Lord, show, you know, boy, you know, well, I'm blessed, you know, well, no. That car shouldn't be here. I shouldn't have that. And we get so wrapped up in the process of the thing, we forget that the Lord says, Greg, get in the car and drive it. And I got in the car and I put the roof down and I had a wonderful week of driving it. It was such a thrill. Never happened again, but it happened that one time. But I didn't overly concern myself with how did God bring this about, or and go, well, gee, if that's the way it happened, I can make it happen again and again. No, I just love being, if I could say, in the deeper things of God. And it was a thrill to have. But it was something gave to me, and I didn't need to know why. But you talk about the river that I just mentioned and I read to you about. Is the river, if you read through it, it's the Jordan River. And it starts in northern Israel and flows all the way down. And it's where the Jews or Israelites crossed and went into the promised land. It was where Jesus was baptized, where the John's ministry of calling forth the life and the time of Jesus was, where he lived and he worked, and still today it just brings life to the area. It's such a flow of life. But one of the things that we tend to forget is that river that brings such life flows into an area called the Dead Sea. And as it flows into the Dead Sea, the fish and the life that it carries flows into water that is 10 times saltier than the ocean. And everything dies. And I know you read these verses and it says how it will flourish. I think at one time it's going to, it will in the future, it will flourish. But I see that as a picture of ourselves. That God is flowing the Spirit into us, the river that comes from the throne of God, and he flows and he pours it out on us and pours it out on us. And the trouble is it flows into a place where there is no life, that we don't accept it. And the reason there is no life is there is no outflow from the Dead Sea. The water just comes in and evaporates. And there's no life, there's no outgo. And I just see that as a picture of our lives, that so many of us, we have no vision. And without, as we were talked before, without a vision, the people perish. And we have no vision, so what is ever poured into us just dies. Because we don't have any outgo. And when the Lord pours his vision into us and his Spirit into us, we are supposed to pour that out and let him use us and pour it out. And I don't care what your ministry is. I don't care if it's prophetic or if it's healing or it's hospitality or it's just loving your neighbor. If you don't do it, you will die. It will just die in you. It will not grow. But if you let it pour out of you, it will require more being poured into you. And more and more. And you will not be able. It will be a river that you cannot cross. You cannot control. You can just envelop yourself in and let him work through you and do those things. But you need to have a vision. And we all struggle with trying to have a vision. We all struggle with, you know, where do we want to go? And this vision that we have, so many times, you know, we go, okay, use your imagination. Well, you know, there's some places that say, don't use your imagination, it's evil. And I agree that the Bible says to put down every vain imagination, and vain imaginations are ones that you have about yourself, that are your own self-fulfilling. And I know I thought quickly of two songs written, John Lennon's song, Imagine, where he says there's no heaven and there's no hell, that we're just there. And then I also, Mercy Me's song, I Can Only Imagine, when he talks about heaven and what a wonderful song that is and how wonderful heaven is. And on this, you know, Resurrection Day, I thought back how everything changed that day. From the Last Supper to where he told his disciples to remember him. And to say remember me doesn't mean just in your mind, didn't we have a great time then? It literally means to pull what we have now into our present. What happened in the past, pull it into our present. And then he said, remember me when you do this. And the things he wants you to remember is everything he's done for you. Because on that resurrection day, which we celebrate today, we died. We died with Christ. We were crucified with Christ. We were buried with Christ. And we were risen with Christ. And it says we are seated with him in heavenly realms. Well, that is an absolute truth. It is now and in the future. And that's something that some people don't get a real grip on, because how can it be now and also in the future? But in the spiritual realm, God has no time. Time means absolutely nothing to him. And that's, again, we're such creatures of, we need understanding before we believe. But when they asked Jesus, what must we do to be saved? He says, believe. He didn't say, understand what I'm saying. He said, just believe what I'm saying. And we're at a point where we get stuck and we have no vision and we don't know what to do. And we're told not to use our imaginations, and we're told not to look into the things of God and understand. And Jesus says, remember these things, bring these things. You work from a position of just from my throne room, from where you are seated with me. And at that point, we're all brought into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because he said, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and he is in me, and you are in me. And we are all together. And I can't fathom that without using my God-given imagination. But I know it's true. I know that's where I function from. But the thing is, I was told not to use my imagination. And I know my imagination can be pretty cruddy at times. But again, God says, don't think of those things, but think of these things. And then go back to the verses of, 2 Corinthians 6:10, and, Paul is talking about these same verses. He brings this up. And I go, but my eyes have never seen, my ears never heard. I can't even imagine. And Paul has an answer for that. And I think that we've all heard messages saying, you will not see, you will not hear, you will not understand the things I have for you. You know, you're just going to have to take them on faith. But there's something Paul says here in these verses which are a little astounding. And I want to read this to you. And this is from the ESV. It's 1 Corinthians 2. And I'm going to start in verse 6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of the ages or of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, and this is where he quotes Isaiah, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart of man imagined, God has prepared for those who love him. And the trouble is, that's usually what gets preached. You pull out a verse and you preach that. But he goes on to say, these things, what things? What your eye, no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what you haven't even imagined, these things he has revealed to us through the Spirit, capital S. For the Spirit, capital S, searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit in that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends thoughts of God except through the Spirit of God, capital S, Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but himself, to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, Paul is telling us we do have ears to see, or ears to hear, and eyes to see, and an imagination and a thought life that is accelerated by the Spirit of God, not by the spirit of this age, but by the Spirit of God, that we would know the things that are hidden. And he will speak those things to us. And if you go back and look at Resurrection Day, everything changed. That's when everything changed. That's when we became joint heirs with Christ. And he became our brother, and he's our Savior, and we're seated with him in the heavenly realms. And we can hear the things from God and see the things from God. And that is where you get your vision. That is where your expectation grows. Yes, you can use your imagination for what you want to use it for, but the spirit of this world does not understand the Spirit of God. But if you would use the Spirit of God and allow your imagination and remember, as Jesus said, remember what he did for us, that he has taken us through this process and that we are no longer sinners, but we are saints. That we are seated with him, that we will be able to see and we will understand what the Spirit is saying. And we receive then, you know, our wisdom of, you know, what is going on. And we will understand what he is saying to us, that we do not have to be people who sit as the Dead Sea with all this stuff flowing to us with no discernment. Our discernment is out of the mind of Christ. And we all who have called Jesus Lord and come to him, we do have the mind of Christ. And out of that is the wonder and the glory that we can share with the things of God. That we will know that we are in the Father and he is in us, and we are in Jesus and he is in us, and that the Holy Spirit works through us. And we don't feel hesitant to say, Spirit of God, show me in my mind and my understanding all that you have for me. And I know you will be amazed when you finally let the Father work through you and show you those things. So I want to end up. I just don't want you to be spiritual tourists into the deep things of God. I don't want you to walk through the little lapping waves and think you've had a wonderful time and just brush the sand from your feet and go about your way. I want you to go out where you can't touch the bottom. I want you to go out and feel the move of the Spirit through you. And your spirit will be lifted up. And I'm not saying that everybody's going to understand what's going on, but that really doesn't matter. It is the Spirit speaking to you. You want a sign? Okay, go ask Him for a sign, but be ready to read. Be ready to understand. You want to hear His voice? Sometimes you just need to shut your mouth and listen for Him. You know, we always tell God what we want, but we never ask, what does He want? And what He wants us to stop doing things for Him and let Him do things through us. And He wants to talk to us through the mind of Christ. And when we have that mind of Christ, we will find the perfect peace. We will find what God wants from us. Our expectations will go through the roof. I absolutely promise you, if you do this and you meditate on this, that your expectations will change. You will start seeing yourself as God sees you, and not as you have always seen yourself or people have labeled you. Go into the deep things of God. Let Him pick you up and carry you. Don't be overly concerned about the process, about how does He do this, and try to explain it in the natural way. You'll confuse yourself, because God wants to pour out on you all that He has. And there is so much that is going to be coming. It has always come, but there is an acceleration going on now. I don't want to miss any of it. I want to hear what the Spirit says. I see myself as God sees me, not as the world sees me. Because He says, I am His Son. And He is more than willing to whisper in my ear the things for His beloved Son, to tell Him what is going on and to reveal to Him His mind and His love for me. Selah. Yea, God. I don't know if any of you have any questions. That'd be fine if you ask. I don't want you to become stagnant. And you can increase your vision by just listening to the Lord with your mind of Christ, which you have. So is there any questions that anybody has? Anybody online? Or
I think what you said, I don't know if my words will come through, was so beautifully said and so appreciated. But, I got a lot out of what you said. It's just so simple. Your analogies that you used with the ocean, and the deep, and the Dead Sea, and my goodness, the Lord has really blessed you with this message and blessed us too. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I pray this, you know, let this go deep into your heart and understand what God's expectation for you is. And His expectation is to bless you and lift you up and show you where you're seated and the glory that the glory He has given you. Yes, He has given you His glory. And I know it says, Jesus says, I will not share my glory with another. Well, you're not another. You're a brother. You are a brother in Christ. And you are deeply loved. And I don't know who will ever listen to this on the internet or whatever, but when you hear you're not deeply loved, that's a lie. And you need to put that down. Like a vain imagination, because that's all it is. So I thank you. I ask the Lord to bless you this Resurrection Day, to bring into remembrance what all happened on this day. and enjoy your family and friends. But make every day a resurrection day. Every day is a day that you can take your imagination and you can and see what God wants to do for you. And he will come and he will meet with you and he will be with you. I can't stress that enough. I can't stress that enough to myself. I have the same battles that everybody else has. He is so good. He is so good. He is so good. So, blessings to you all, and have a wonderful weekend. And Terry will be back next week. If you have any questions next week, you can ask the pastor. So, be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Easter.